The reading this evening is from Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 to 21. Verse 1 to 21 of Genesis chapter 23. Let us hear the word of God. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, You shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, You shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, You shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And to the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And to Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. And may the Lord add his blessing to his word. We'll turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 3, and verse 15. Verse 15. It is the Lord speaking to our great enemy, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. This verse, says Spurgeon, is the first sermon, gospel sermon, ever delivered to the human race. And it's so full of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It tells us that because of this tremendous problem of sin that was read to us and is in the opening part of this particular chapter, the Lord comes to Adam and Eve and Satan and tells Satan directly that all the trouble you have caused in destroying paradise and the godly life of Adam and Eve, you will meet your match in the fullness of time. God promises that the incarnation of Jesus Christ will be a fact. The seed of the woman and of the man. The seed of the woman. Jesus Christ was not the seed of Joseph. The seed of the woman. The Holy Spirit came upon Mary, conceived of the Holy Ghost. Furthermore, Satan hears another truth, that he would bruise the Lord Jesus Christ. That is, Jesus Christ would suffer. But only bruising the heel of Christ in his humanity. And then this tremendous truth, Jesus Christ's victory over Satan. He will bruise Satan's head. The first gospel sermon ever delivered, said Spurgeon. It is said that the first step in solving a problem is to realize that it does exist. And what we find in our world tonight, and we find it in Gorsainen and in Clydach and everywhere else in Wales, that the world even today does not recognize that the great problem of humanity is sin or rebellion against the God who made them. And unless the world can come to recognize that, the solving of the problem is impossible. And man could never solve the problem of sin. But God, in his mercy, at the beginning of the scriptures, underlines that that problem will be solved, and solved by one person, my son, Jesus Christ. And so this evening, before we partake of the Lord's Supper, there are two things I want to say, very, very briefly. First of all, the day that man died. That's how desperate the fall is. That's what's awful about it. That in Adam, man died. It was planned for him to live. But this was the day in the Garden of Eden when he died. In other words, the first Adam died. And the second heading I have very briefly is this. The day when the Son of Man died, or the second Adam died, to solve this intractable problem of human sin and human misery, he would do the work in his incarnation, in his teaching, in his dying, resurrection, and ascension to the right hand of God in the throne in heaven. First of all, then, briefly, the day that man died. Creation is over. This world is perfect. There was no problem in it. No corruption in it. And then God created man. What a wonderful creation. The crown of God's creation is mankind, with all his faculties and his intellect, the brilliance of man. And my friend, it isn't a product of evolution. In one of the news programs on television last week, there was, I think he was the scientific reporter of the BBC, he held a brain in his hand. And you know what he said? The masterpiece of evolution. The masterpiece of evolution. It's the masterpiece of creation, not evolution. Man is a brilliant being, created perfectly by God. A righteous person, sinless, blameless, faultless. The law of God written in his heart from his creation. And then in the Garden of Eden, prior to the fall, God declared verbally to Adam and Eve the law. Adam and Eve, there is one stipulation for life and the continuance of life that is perfect on earth. It to do the commandment that I will tell you now. And what it was, of course, was that there were trees in the garden. There were a number of trees there. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, this is a command of every tree of the garden. Thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And he's talking here to a man who only knew good. Thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. There'll be a day when you will die. Don't eat of it. Keep clear. Obey this basic command of eternal life. Can I make a comparison here concerning that verse? The day you shall eat of it, you shall surely die. I want to compare that verse to a bridge. That verse is the bridge between man and God. It guarantees unity. Guarantees one can cross to the other side and talk and converse and have fellowship and have love one for the other. It's a bridge between Almighty God and man created in God's image. And Adam's future in paradise rested entirely on keeping that bridge intact. If that bridge is broken, fellowship is broken, unity is broken, tension is born between man and God. Adam, for goodness sake, don't break the commandment. Don't break the bridge. Then one day, the enemy came. Certainly tempting Eve. And the strategy is clear. He attacks the bridge between man and God. And the weapon he uses, not a sword or a spear, a barefaced lie. Hath God said? And he's done it ever since. He's a master of lies. In the Gospel of John, he's the father of lies. And a murderer. And he murders here. A murderer from the beginning. And of course, we know the consequence. Adam and Eve fell into sin. They rebelled against their Maker. And God's customary visit now happens in the Garden of Eden. He came there in the cool of the day to converse, to have communion, to have fellowship with these perfect beings. And there was no one to welcome him. God didn't call before. Adam, where art thou? You can just imagine God coming and Adam and Eve running towards him, fellowship, speaking with their Creator, their God. This time there is silence. They have fallen, they're hiding, they're guilty, they're naked. Adam, where art thou? The first example of hide and seek in the world's history. And ever since that day, man is ever hiding from God. And God in his mercy is ever seeking man. He's seeking tonight, as gospel messages proclaimed in Wales. People were hiding from God, hiding their sin, hiding their guilt. And God seeks them. He wants to find them. And the fall was a tremendous thing. A veritable earthquake. It shook the world in such extent that even creation fell. Romans 8. It affected the whole of creation. One day, you see, one day, creation will be delivered. Not only man, fully delivered, but creation will be delivered from corruption. And to the glorious liberty of the children of God. The bridge fell. Unity was broken. Fellowship ended. To such an extent that by the end of chapter 3 of Genesis, we read, and the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us, knowing good and evil. And now lest he put forth in hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, Lord God said, sent him forth
From the garden, there is separation. There is divorce. There is no unity now. Sin has controlled Adam and Eve, and they die. Their souls died there and then. And they also had a dying body, a dead soul, and a dying body. Someday he would be in the dust. All because of this great temptation that destroyed the very foundations of the bridge between man and God. Williams Pantycelyn, the great Welsh hymn writer, puts it in Eden. Sad indeed that day. My countless blessings fled away. My crown, that is his godliness, his righteousness, his purity, his perfectness, fell in disgrace. I might refer to the second part of that verse later on. But in Eden, sad indeed that day. That was the day that Adam died. Listen to Genesis 5, verse 3. Adam begat a son in his own likeness. The rot is setting in. He has now got the image of God as it was in its purity. Romans 5 verse 12. By one man, sin entered the world. And death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, you and I, for that all have sinned. There were catastrophic consequences to mankind. Man's makeup completely disintegrated, morally, righteously, and godly. Now we know man is a great creature even today in the fall. He can reach up to the outer space. They're up there now, some of them. Man is clever. Think of the advances in medical science, in the health service. He's a marvelous being, even in the fall. But man, because of the fall, is morally corrupt. He is a sinner. Do you know you're a sinner this evening? And you're lost without Christ. He is morally corrupt. What the theologians call the doctrine of total depravity. The world doesn't like that. But all parts of him, his mind, he's corrupt. His will is corrupt. He can't do the will of God. His emotions have been affected. All is corrupt. He's a sinner. The other consequence was this: that man is now totally incapable of changing his nature. He can't. He can't become holy now of his own volition. It's impossible. He's a sinner. He's the Ethiopian who cannot change his skin. He's the leopard that can't change his spots. He can't. He can't be better in God's eyes. And the third consequence is very, very serious. All men are guilty before God. And one day, there is a judgment day. There is a heaven, and there is a hell. That's how desperate the situation of man is. That's the problem he cannot solve. Impossible to solve it, because man is corrupt, and God is holy, and the bridge is broken. He can't pass over to God. Great God, says the hymn writer, what do I see and hear? The end of things created. This is the end of the world. The judge of mankind doth appear on clouds of glory seated. This frightening vision of the end of the world. The trumpet sounds. The graves restore the dead which they contained before. And listen to this. Prepare my soul to meet him. Prepare my soul to meet him. When am I going to die? I don't know. But I thank God. I've met God before I die. I've met Christ before I die. I've been saved by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Is there anyone here this evening who hasn't solved the problem? Come to Christ in repentance and faith. And trust in his merits, not your own. This is the day that man died. And quickly, the last point, the day that the Son of Man died, Jesus Christ. Thomas Binney says, oh, how can I, whose native sphere is dark, whose mind is dim, how can I ever come back to God over the bridge? That's broken. There is a way for man to rise to that sublime abode, to that new and fresh fellowship with God again. There's a possibility of reuniting, of a reunion. What's the answer, says Binney? An offering. A sacrifice, Jesus Christ. A Holy Spirit's energy in making these things alive to us. An advocate with God. I want to talk now of the new bridge. The old bridge is broken, never to be repaired. There's a new bridge. Can I make a comparison with the River Severn? I suppose we've all crossed the River Severn from Wales to England and vice versa. It's a wonderful thing to know that this bridge was once an impossibility. Separated Wales and England. You couldn't cross. There was a ferry. Up to Gloucester you could cross then on a bridge. But lower down near the Bristol Channel, impossible. You couldn't cross. There were obstacles between Wales and England of travel and communication. But engineers went to their offices and they mapped out geological surveys, geographical surveys. And then this marvelous bridge, these two massive pillars embedded in the River Severn and a suspension bridge over it. The obstacle was removed. The pillars, those pillars bear all the weight of the traffic and the lorries and the people crossing it. Those great pillars, they withstand the strong winds of the Bristol Channel. They safeguards the travellers who go across it. The bridge won't collapse. They're strong. They hold the bridge. And the benefits are immense. For tourism, for business, moving back and forth daily, thousands of people from Wales to England, England to Wales. Massive blessings on the natural scale. The bridge. Can I apply that? That bridge, spiritually, is Jesus Christ. See, the bridge of the gospel has two great pillars. One is the life of Jesus Christ. The other is the death of Jesus Christ. These are the two pillars. And over these pillars, the bridge is suspended, and man can go from this world to the next, from being a sinner to being a saint because of Jesus Christ. He is the bridge. Think of his life. In his baptism, John is baptizing thousands, and Jesus comes. And he protests. You know. You've got to do it, John, says Jesus. He goes down to the water. The voice heard, his father's voice. This, he says. This man is not the same as the others. Because of their sin, they need to be baptized and repent of their sins. But this man is not the other like the others. This is my only begotten Son, in whom I am well pleased. He doesn't want to go down to the river. He is perfect. He's the second Adam. He's blameless. He's perfect. He's righteous. The temptation in the wilderness, 40 days, balancing what happened in the Garden of Eden. Adam the first was tempted and he fell. Just once was enough. Jesus Christ tempted three times and he conquered. And the same weapon was used by Satan even then as in the Garden of Eden. A lie. Turning the word of God into a lie. Perfect obedience. Made by Jesus Christ for the bridge to be built, but it wasn't enough. Not only had the law to be fulfilled, but the payment for sin had to be paid. The cost was tremendous. The blood of Jesus Christ on Calvary. In Eden, sad indeed that day, my countless blessings fled away. My crown fell in disgrace, but on victorious Calvary, that crown was won again for me. My life shall all be praise. Jesus Christ the bridge. The holy law fulfilled. Says John Elias of Anglesey, atonement now is made, and that great debt, too great for me, he now was fully paid. He took my sins, has he taken yours, and my sorrows. This is Jesus. He made my sins his very own, as if he possessed it, as if he had sinned. He bore the burden to Calvary, suffered, died alone. My friends, I will now apply my message very quickly before I finish. There is only one bridge in the whole world, whereby you and I can come right with God. It has two pillars. The life of Jesus Christ and the death of Jesus Christ. And that's the only bridge. There's only one bridge. Have you crossed it? Do you know of it? There is one God. Our society hates this truth, completely intolerant of it. And one mediator between God and man, only one bridge, the man, Christ Jesus. We live in a multi-faith age. Every religion is equal. Of all the religions in the world, all are the same except one. You can branch them into two parts. Every religion except Christianity will tell you and I, do it yourself. Do this good work. Do that good work. Be honest. Pay your taxes. Do it. Do it. Do it. We can't. We're corrupt. We are morally corrupt. Christianity says, it's done. The work is done. Who did it? Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. It's done. My friends, 'tis finished. The bridge is built. The Messiah dies. Cut off for sins, but not his own. Accomplished is the sacrifice. The great redeeming work is done. 'Tis finished. All the debt is paid. Justice divine is satisfied. The grand and full atonement made. God for a guilty world has died. There's only one bridge. Jesus Christ. There is only one way to cross the bridge. By faith. There was a time on the River Severn, there was a ferry going across. It's not there now. I don't think so anyway. There are many people in chapels and churches up and down this land who believe they can cross from this world to God and be right with God by the ferry of good works. And they're doing their best to ferry across. They can't reach the other side. Because you could do and try and do whatever you like to the end of your days and you couldn't fulfill the law. It's been done for us. By faith we are saved. And thirdly, this bridge, there's only one toll to pay. You come from England, who will you go to pay a toll? Only one toll to pay for crossing this bridge is paid on Calvary by the blood of Jesus Christ. The day that the Son of God died, the second Adam, are you rejoicing in the Savior tonight? Are you saved? Has your problem been solved? Do you recognize you have a problem? It does exist. It is so serious. Unless you settle it, there is no future of blessedness in the world to come. But I would urge you to come to Christ tonight if you haven't come. Come to Jesus and be saved. Repent and believe. Christ died for me. The bridge is here. Have you crossed it? May God give his grace to us to thank him from the bottom of our hearts that he died for me and will bring me to heaven. Bless this word, O God, for Jesus' sake. Amen.